What's happening?
I'm Cameron Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show, a podcast focused on action and sci-fi films. I'm just going to intro you guys right off the bat because there was a great, like, last minute little mouth pop. I hope we got it. Leave it in, Lindsay. Lindsay Pavel's producer in the booth, extraordinaire. Many of you met her this past weekend at Max FunCon, and you better have purchased her a drink. Clear liquor only. She likes gin or vodka. Next time you see her, not that much. Not like she's like, but I just mean like, if you want to buy her a drink, that's what to buy her, Lindsay Pavlis. Also with me today, the Afro spokesman, Mr. Ricky Carmona, popping those lips.
What it do, people? Pa-pam!
Oh, I just want you to keep adding stuff to your catchphrase. That's the whole show. It's just... And an acid.
He was like, "Mop."
Eat chicken. You heard.
How was your weekend at Max FunCon, Ricky?
Max FunCon was goddamn beautiful. Shout out to Gabe, who came over and was like, "Hey, I'm the guy who got Rhea Back to the Future."
Yeah,
it was great.
Did you hug that man?
I did not hug him, but I should have hugged him.
Yes. And
I should
have hugged him. For those listeners that don't know, Max FunCon, our parent company, our overseer, our
Lord, mom and dad,
our Lord Business,
our Lord Paper,
MaximumFun.org. Where you might be listening to this website, you might be listening to this website, and Maximum Fun sponsors a convention for listeners. Max FunCon. It just happened this last weekend, but don't worry, there'll be another one next year. So start saving your camp money and put a marshmallow away every day. And Rhea Butcher is also here, the Lady James Dean. How you doing, Rhea?
I'm pretty good. I was not at Max FunCon.
No, but we were in Portland this weekend.
We were in Portland, City of Roses, Rip City, Portlandia. It's got a bunch of nicknames.
Uh-huh.
Emerald
and
City.
We were recording an album. I was recording an album and you opened
What
for...
if we were recording an album together?
But we just said every other word?
Yeah. That would be great.
Yes.
Very high concept.
It
was
a
great
time.
Yes.
I
loved being in Portland. It was really great to be there because, hey, it's a great city. I bought some men's jeans and nobody gave me shit for it. Love that about Portland. They were just like, how'd those work? Yeah, they work. I was like, these are great. And a man was like, yeah, those are a little bit looser and they fit hips, I've noticed, a lot better. So I hope you really enjoy those. Nobody would say that to me anyplace else but Portland.
Wow, like, that's beautiful.
Those men's jeans accommodate hips very well. Thank you, sir. They do.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I feel really good about it.
And how are your hips?
You know, when they move like that, they make a woman go mad. Is that the lyrics? I don't know.
I think that's true. Ricky, how are your hips? I forgot to ask you about your hips.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me. They were very deceitful before, but now my hips, they don't lie.
That really got me. And I was so happy because many listeners, well, I had two sold out album tapings in Portland. Many Wham Bam Pow listeners were there. I know that because a lot of people came up to me after the show. I even got a really great, great present, a 3D printed, it's my first ever 3D printed thing I've owned, Terminator T-800 head that a gal had engineered a side mullet on. I posted a picture of it on my Instagram, which is at Cameron Esposito. You like need to see it because it's amazing. And so thank you to that gal. I didn't get your name even. So tweet at me if you're the person who made me a Terminator head because I loved it. And also Jumbo Jibbles, who has in the past given Rhea and I a unicorn horn headband.
Oh, right. Yes, that our dog really enjoyed.
Yep. And
wearing.
Yep.
That is.
And she also sent me a tiny thing, a little bug thing that goes in a little container. And so anyway,
a tiny turtle friend and
little,
some jiggly eyes.
A little turtle and some jiggly eyes. So thank you so much to listeners who are sending me presents.
She likes
tiny
things.
I asked for presents and I got like two presents, but one of the presents had three presents in the present. So that was total four presents. We will be back after this with some news, reviews, things you can use, including our review of X-Men Days of Future Past, right after this. Oh, and Welcome back. We are going to talk some movie news. Now, this first thing is just really a visual thing. It's tough on a podcast. But did either of you guys see the early designs for E.T. that Rick Baker released?
I did, yeah.
The pictures of?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I saw them in my nightmares.
Yes.
For weeks.
The E.T. puppet, you know, so iconic. And whenever we see something like that, that we just, that's how that looks. It's so awesome to see the other ways that it could have looked. And also to see that if E.T. didn't look like, kind of like a lumpy poo man, he was going to look like the scariest string bean alien in the world.
It's also funny to me that, now, I totally agree, E.T. is an iconic character, but that thing, that lumpy, half-melted Hershey's Kiss of a thing is iconic. It's so weird to me.
I mean, the difference between how that character looks and how Chet in Weird Science looks after he's turned into a pile of garbage is not that large.
Yeah. No, it's not that different. And then it's also, it's like a child's toy. What a horrifying decade we were children in to be like carrying that. Because I had a little E.T. doll that was like that weird like naga hide that they would make toys out of, and I just remember it being like really sticky.
Oh my god, I had that same I had that same E.T.
like in the summertime.
The naga hide E.T. I had that guy
to my forearm. What a weird toy.
I forgot about that guy until now. We gotta make a chair out of that guy. Yeah. Let's get a couple of those guys.
I can remember what it smelled like.
You know what else? My now, as you know, the Espositos have a holiday tradition. Every Christmas Eve, we build an elf trap. It started when my older sister was very young, and she was trying to trap an elf. And a really recent episode of Bob's Burgers kind of alludes to like a Santa trap. I'm like, oh, excuse me, Bob's Burgers. I've been doing this for 30 years. But my sister tried to trap an elf. And then what happens is you put out a box. The box has cookies in it, and like the elf goes in there, and then like, whoop, you got an elf, but it's never worked, which is a real bummer.
You guys have a bad track record.
Yeah, I mean, never.
Maybe
have
you should
one.
Get like elf pee. Maybe you.
Hey, they'll be attracted to the scent.
They're like,
wait, but
yes.
Rhea, don't you get it? We'd have to have the elf to get the elf pee.
I know, but you could probably buy some sort of synthetic elf pee from like a
what, like so
Bass
the elf
Pro.
Can beat the drug test, so he can stay employed by Santa's workshop. Come on,
right? Yes.
We try to trap an elf. Now, what Santa does is puts a toy in the box and wraps it because it's like, yeah, you didn't get an elf, but like, whatever.
Here's
but
a toy.
The first time that we did it, my sister got an E.T. doll. Yeah. And when she opened up the wrapped elf trap, she lost her mind and had to leave Christmas for a while because that thing is scary as shit.
It's terrifying. The fact that that is a child's toy. Oh, God.
Speaking of things that look awesome, Jurassic World looks awesome. I can't wait to see this movie. There's been, okay, so this is, I don't, there's like a little spoilery. Do you, now, I feel like it's going to be in the trailers.
Okay.
I think.
But so, we should just say spoiler
so it's a little
for people talking about what's going to be in.
General plot knowledge. This is not like a, this is a, the most
how the
overarching,
movie ends,
the most
like,
overarching plot knowledge.
Who dies?
Some characters.
Yeah. This is how they die and when. No, most overarching plot knowledge is, I think what has happened in this film is that they've engineered like a super dino, and then there are dinos that are kept as pets by that Lego guy, whatever his name is, from Parks and Rec.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Chris Pratt?
That's
Pratt?
Who I mean.
Okay.
And so...
God, is he in every movie now?
He is. Well, he got
holy
his abs.
Crap.
And...
you get your sorry... You get your... Ah, damn it.
So... I believe that there's going to be good dinos fighting for us, is what I'm trying to say.
Mm.
I think there's good protecting dinos and bad dinos.
You know what that reminds me?
I think it's a dino clash.
You know what that reminds me of? That, oh God, I can't believe I can't remember the name of this cartoon.
The movie Godzilla?
No, well, yes, but also it reminds me of that cartoon where it was like the dinos in space. Where the dinosaurs were not astronauts,
space?
But you know what I'm saying? Where they stood up and they spoke and they were like protecting the earth.
Hey, Rhea, when did you see this cartoon?
Yeah.
Was it, were you, did you have anything?
What did you eat?
Are you alluding
beforehand
to the fact that I had drugs before I, no, I'm talking about when I was a child.
I'm wondering if
and
you
I
drank
had my,
elf pee right
my
before
my naga
you saw
hide E.T. stuck to my arm.
Well, moving along, hey, in the past I've brought up casting news for Jem and I was like, nobody's in this movie. Well, great news. Two powerful forces of feminine energy Juliette Lewis, Molly Ringwald.
Ooh.
I actually can't wait to see Molly Ringwald in Gem. She was on the most recent episode of, or maybe two episodes ago, of This American Life. And her story on there was amazing. And I thought she seemed very cool and approachable and rad. I can't wait to see her, whatever she is in Gem.
I loved her work in Not Another Teen Movie.
I never saw any of those movies because I'm an adult.
Big fan of The Pickup Artist. The Pickup Artist.
She's in that?
She's got...
Is that the Downey Jr. joint?
Yeah, she's got the body of a Bocelli and the face of a something-something.
Bocelli.
Huh. What does he say?
I remember her from 16 Candles.
16
that's
Candles.
That's the last thing.
Breakfast
so,
Club.
I know she's writing stuff now. So anyway, get back in there, Mal. We're glad to see you. And Juliette Lewis,
and Juliette
you're welcome
Lewis,
any day.
Anytime. Friend of the
All
show.
All the time.
24/7.
Let's put on our skates and roll her. now, Edgar Wright.
I don't know what that means.
Edgar Wright, who is known for Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, The World's End, he is leaving as director of Ant-Man, and there's been a lot of speculation about why this would be, but one, not necessarily confirmed, but pretty well-established thought is that a lot of those movies that he made were smaller. He had a lot more control. They were more independently produced. And then now he's working for a big studio making Ant-Man, and it was too much for him to deal with that kind of pressure. And I bring that up because I do think that there are some directors right now that I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens in the future for them. Somebody very close to this show, Gareth Edwards, who just... we all agreed did a great job with Godzilla, has been hired to direct the first standalone Star Wars film that will not necessarily take place within the same contiguous Star Wars universe that we know. That seems like a lot of pressure for somebody that, I mean, Godzilla obviously already a huge success and a giant movie and a giant monster also. But, I mean, what do you guys think it takes to keep a vision going if you are trying to keep that many people happy? You know, the more money there is in the pot, the more people have an opinion.
For sure. And here's what I don't understand, what I can't figure out that Marvel, what I don't understand from Marvel's end is you've taken risks before. Robert Downey Jr. wasn't a huge name before they cast him for Iron Man. They cast him in Iron Man, and we were like, oh, shit, they're going to take this Iron Man seriously. They're putting fucking Robert Downey Jr. in there. Same thing, again, with Iron Man, with Shane Black. Holy shit, with Shane Black, he doesn't do anything, but they're trusting Shane Black, and we love Shane Black. So I don't know why they wouldn't do the same thing with Edgar Wright, who makes movies that are good. People just don't go see them. We go see them, but the majority of the public doesn't go see them. I don't know why... they would be like, no, Edgar Wright, it has to be this way. Yeah. And it's one of those where, like, I'm more excited for an Edgar Wright movie than an Ant-Man movie. So if
exactly.
Edgar Wright's not on it and Adam McKay isn't on it, Marvel Studios, shh, go take a nap or something. Let me know when there's another Edgar Wright movie. I don't really care that you haven't figured out how the fuck to do Ant-Man yet.
Well, Marvel is putting out, I mean, just some wildly inflated budgets in their films, and there's a lot at risk.
Yeah.
It feels like right now what's happened with film is, you know, as we've said in the past, that when you make things too big to fail, then nothing small can get through, even, because you're putting all your money in one place. Well, where's the money to support the other projects? And also, where's the project that can compete with a $400 million film? You know, how can you compete with that?
We've seen Edgar Wright movies. We know they're good. Why? What was it, Marvel? I mean, I don't know if they were expecting it to be like too British. I don't know anything about Mad Men. I don't know. So it's
about
just like
72 Avenger movies, or honestly, the X-Men series. Like, and we'll get into this in the review. But I mean, God, stuff is feeling stale. So it's no wonder that they're also trying to keep directors in line. I feel like. In the genre that we love, action has been getting a real short shrift lately. I think sci-fi still has some hope in it. I've still seen some cool, interesting sci-fi movies, but action is really spent right now. I would love to see some new life.
Well, they don't want to risk anything on a property that isn't a comic book right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's like a huge, I don't know, it's just selling everybody short. Like,
absolutely.
We can totally see movies that are not from comic books.
Yeah. And if you weigh those two things, you know, a well-made action movie, whatever that would look like, versus like, so a well-made sci-fi movie, Gravity. Gravity did amazing this year. That's technically a sci-fi movie. And the fact that, you know, or maybe it's fantasy, maybe it's even a little bit action.
Say it's sci-fi.
But it's sci-fi. You know, I mean, it takes place in space. Like, the fact that you could take a risk on a property like that, that it could do so well. And I'm not saying, I know that didn't, that movie did not outperform Avengers and Iron Man 3 at the box office, but I'm just saying that there is a reason that sci-fi has so much hope in it right now, and it's because there's individual properties that are unique.
It also just occurred to me that perhaps one of the reasons why Edgar Wright was kicked off of Ant-Man is because he was possibly approaching it the same way that he has approached all of his movies, which is to sort of skewer something that, you know, like a genre that exists already. So if he was perhaps making fun of all the comic book movies that are coming out, maybe they weren't.
I mean,
weren't
maybe that's true.
Sure.
Yeah. I just, you know, like Hot Fuzz is like, oh, look how silly and funny an action movie is. And also look at this great action movie that we made, which I think has some potential in a world of just like constant comic book movies. It might be fun to watch something sort of make fun of it that's not Kick-Ass.
For sure.
I was going to say, the funny thing about that, and I understand what you're saying, but I think that a lot of comic books are actually trying to do that. Comic book movies are actually trying to do that to themselves.
Sure.
You know, it's that snake eating the tail. Like, we're not taking that so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, either take it seriously or don't. I mean, I don't necessarily think taking something
means serious
has to be
ness love. I just mean like a, anyway, it doesn't
matter. Understand what you're
saying. Even this guy who's directing this Guardians of the Galaxy movie. I mean, James Gunn is, if you were to walk up to him and say, do you know who James Gunn is? They'd be like, I have no idea.
I love him on Project One Way.
Thank you, Moon.
But I mean, like, he's a guy where it's just like, I don't know when Marvel, something happened there where Marvel's like, well, forget it, then this is ours. You know, James Gunn isn't like a household name, but they gave him a fuck ton of money for a summer tentpole project. You know, it's, I was very, when I heard
well,
that, when I heard that Edgar Wright was,
it, so what,
yeah.
When I heard what Edgar Wright was off, I was like, all right, then just go away with that story for a while, because.
Or make Wonder Woman.
Or work on another movie, but this.
Well, let's wrap up this conversation with some good news. And I totally think both of you guys have great points, and I'm sorry that you're going through this right now.
But I appreciate it.
I appreciate your support.
There is some great casting news. Lupita Nyong'o will join the new Star Wars cast. And, of course, when the Star Wars cast was initially announced, we, everybody here in the studio, and Lindsay, and Jesse Thorne, he came in just to yell about it. That's not true. But everybody was pretty upset about the very minimal number of women in this film. And I think a couple things about Lupita Nyong'o. Number one, great name right now. Mm-hmm. You know, she just won the Oscar. I also think great look for a Star Wars movie. She's got that, like, specificity, but also, like, that hyper beauty that almost makes her
Grace Jones.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, also just not necessarily real.
It's mostly like, just the hair.
Does she have Grace Jones hair?
I think so.
No, I know what you mean. But yes, I guess what I'm saying is, like, she's so beautiful that she kind of makes sense as that. Some of the Star Wars characters are, like, some of them are, I have a weird penis for a nose. And then some of them are just like, well, my deformity is I'm beautiful.
I'm too fine. I can't help myself.
So I'm curious to see who she plays.
And also Brienne of Tarth is going to be in it, too.
Oh, my God. I didn't even see that.
You didn't see that?
Is she right? Is that right?
Yeah. She got cast. They both, it was announced today, both.
Oh, Brienne I didn't know that. Oh, that's great.
I can't, Gwendolyn
oh
something.
Oh, my God.
Stefani?
Oh, she yeah, Gwendolyn is going to be Stefani. A Jedi. Yeah. Yes. She is going to be.
I was thinking
oh,
she's
that's
every
be awesome.
Jedi. The new C-3PO or something.
She is going to be C-3PO.
C-3PO.
She's going to be the ship.
Whoa.
I would ride in that.
Oh, oh my God.
We'll be back with a new Pitch It right after this.
Have you made vacation plans yet? The second annual Atlantic Ocean Comedy and Music Festival is ready to set sail this summer, and we want to see you on board. Imagine amazing comedians, stellar music, and beautiful Caribbean views. It all takes place July 25th through 28th, en route to Nassau, the Bahamas. And frankly, we've impressed even ourselves with this lineup of Bullseye favorites. You've got Moshe Kasher.
I was in an airport recently. You ever see somebody and you're just like, oh, so you're what's wrong with everything in the world.
Kyle Kinane.
Anybody else in here get so drunk last month you had to call a cab just to take you to Wendy's?
W. Kamau Bell.
So complicated, my feelings.
Morgan Murphy.
I don't know if you guys know what a facelift is. It's when they take your face skin and they peel it away from your face, and in that little space there, that's where they find your self-esteem.
And besides them, Greg Barrett, Chris Fairbanks, Karen Kilgariff, Natasha Leggero, Guy Branum, Tony Kameen, and Carol Cole, plus an awesome music lineup hosted by John Roderick of the Long Winters and featuring our pal Jean Grey. Come on, what else are you going to be doing? Don't miss the funniest weekend of your life. Get your tickets right now. Go to boatparty.biz. Yeah, that's right. Boatparty.biz. The Atlantic Ocean Comedy and Music Festival. Comedy, music, shuffleboard.
Welcome back. And on today's show, a brand new Pitch It. Now, one of the most important things to me right now is the character Quicksilver from X-Men Days of Future Past. Spoiler alert, that is a character in the movie. And I will tell you more later, but I hated the movie. Sorry about your ears.
Spoiler alert, she hated
the movie. I didn't think
it
was very good at all. I really didn't, but I am an executive. And when I saw that Evan Peters, who plays Quicksilver. Now, those of you who haven't seen the movie, you might know him from the Carl's Jr. commercial where some stuff falls out of his mouth and he grabs it real quick. He plays himself in the commercial. Weirdly enough, the Mystique commercial, totally not Jennifer Lawrence, because that's cheap.
I have an Oscar.
She's got, yeah, she's not in that.
She doesn't
It's
eat
just
that
the
food.
Second. I wonder who's that person. It's like, oh, I got the...
Eve Harrington.
They didn't get
That's
Rebecca Romaine Stamos. Yeah. She couldn't
no,
get her
like
Mystique costume.
It's just, I mean, I know, you know, that person might probably audition for months and just like really was excited and then just blue body paint playing someone else. You know, they're playing someone else playing someone else.
Who plays anyone else?
Yes,
because
exactly.
Because that's their power. I'm with
That's
you,
right.
Girl.
So therefore, they should have just had their regular face. I'm a regular actor, but I'm also Mystique. They could have just said that. I should be in that commercial. I can just
there
cover up with...
Sure.
By the way, guys, I'm Mystique. That's just true for you guys here. That was the sound of
Whoa.
My
chain. Whoa. Wow, you look like Cameron. You look like Cameron. Whoa.
Actually, it's more like feathers, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Okay. Like... That was better. I nailed it the second time. Now, I'm not talking about Aaron Taylor Johnson Quicksilver. He'll be in a separate movie because there's two Quicksilvers... One in the Age of Ultron, whatever the garbage thing that is, and then the other one in
Age of James Spader.
Yeah, and what?
James Spader's supposed to be in it. I think he's supposed to be Voltron.
It's
I don't think it's
Ultron.
Voltron.
It's whatever. Ultron, people!
I'm sorry.
Ultron can Ultron my Ultron.
He can Ultroff?
Yeah, he can ult right out of here. And anyway. Quicksilver, played by Evan Peters. Now, I loved this kid. I thought, I don't know why I'm calling him a kid. He's probably my age. But loved him. What a young chap. And I asked you guys to cast a new movie. Not cast. That's the guy. We're using Evan Peters. I asked you to build a new movie around the character Quicksilver, who is, in my mind, the best part of the X-Men movies. Now, just for a little bit of a spoiler, to give you guys some information on what Quicksilver does, he's real fast. That's his whole thing. But he's so fast. Real fast. So, Rhea, what did you bring in today?
Well,
do you need a cough drop? Or...
No. I'm good. I just like to do that. It centers me.
Oh, yeah.
It's like my own little reboot of my body.
Okay, great.
So, actually, I brought in a reboot for Quicksilver.
Of your body.
Well, of my body and then also of my pitch. So, I brought in a reboot of the 1986 Thomas Michael Donnelly directed Kevin Bacon, Jamie Gertz vehicle, which is in air quotes, movie called Quicksilver, which is a movie
I've never
that you've
heard
never
of
heard
film.
Of. where the main character, Jack, is a stock trader who makes some bad decisions. And then, you know, he can't take the pressure anymore. So he goes into bicycle messengering on the streets of San Francisco. High pressure bicycle messengering.
So you're like, what if he could ride that bike real fast?
What if Quicksilver were Quicksilver riding a bike through San Francisco? And then the Jamie Gertz character would be played by, of course, Ellen Page as Kitty Pryde.
So I guess my question
is... So they'd be traveling through time and also San Francisco, and also Kevin Bacon would probably be there in some capacity.
Is it like a... Now, the film, the original film, what genre would you put it in?
I would put it in that beautiful genre of 80s athleticism, teen...
like stock trader bike messenger movies?
Like stock trader bike messenger movies with a great soundtrack. And then a city.
So, like, what's he overcoming? Like, he's like too stressed out, and then he has
overcoming
to like, find what he loves?
Of, yes. And
is there a bad guy, or is the bad guy just like
his
own self?
He gets involved with some bad guys through Paul Rodriguez.
But what do the bad guys do?
Like
bad bike messengers?
They are bad bike messengers, and I believe they deliver some Coke, and it's actually baby formula.
Oh, so
I'm getting that confused with three men and a baby, but it's also okay.
I'm just trying to figure out what the conflict is. So the conflict is that he delivers Coke?
Yes.
Well, if he's a stock trader, he should just take it.
He has a bunch of Coke? Yeah.
Okay. So in this film, is this like sort of a like an update where it's more like The Wire, where it's like about the drug trade and also like you can't be too down on Quicksilver for delivering drugs really quickly because it's like he came up on the streets and like what other option did he have?
Exactly.
Okay, I like that.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. Okay. I really liked where you went with that.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Ricky, what do you have for me?
Well, it's a pleasure once again to be in your lair office.
Yeah, it's a lair. And that's Laird Hamilton also.
And it's a pleasure to see you, Surfer Laird Hamilton. Keep doing what
it's
you do.
My Laird lair.
It's this is Laird.
And did you see he has Laird hair?
I did see that he has Laird hair. I saw that you have Larry Bird valeting the cars.
Yeah, yeah. It's a Larry Bird valet.
Ooh, is that lard?
There's so many layers to what we're talking about right now. Let's peel them away, shall we?
But you don't want me to say he has Laird hair in his Laird lair?
I don't want you to not say it.
Okay, all right, Ricky.
What I would like to do, we hear in X-Men Days of Future Past that Quicksilver has a father. Now, comic book nerds, relax. I know who his father really is.
Yes.
But before he knows who his father really is, you would think that he goes on a journey to find who his father really is.
Uh-huh.
Quicksilver, we follow him across the country until he meets a man who he believes could be his father. This man is very slow. This man is a drunk. This man is down and out on his luck, but he shows love for Quicksilver. Quicksilver wants to give this man everything that he does not have. Quicksilver, so fast, he decides, I will let you live the life that you should lead because you have given, you've shown that you can be a father figure to me. So Quicksilver's plan is he will rob every bank across the country to give this man all the money that he has. This man will be a rich man who will be Quicksilver's father. Quicksilver will steal all this money and come to him and say, here we are, face to face, a couple of, the title is Quicksilver Spoons. Boom! And we see the story of how Quicksilver lets his dad become a just filthy rich. I mean, you thought the bikes or the beds made out of cars was a cool thing? No, I mean, the house will be made out of money. I mean, they'll just be like Just money everywhere, like change, quarters, and shit on the floor.
Okay, so it's like a Richie Rich sort of a... Now, let me ask you...
It is exactly like Richie Rich, except the dad is fucking brokey broke.
Right, or like a blank check. Okay, blank so, check. Now, Ricky, of
yes.
course, I do know who Quicksilver's dad is.
Yeah, of course.
And that is Magneto.
Yes.
And I, because you say Quicksilver spoons,
yes.
I understand the plot that you're coming up with.
Thank you.
But I wonder if he couldn't just also be Magneto, because, like, the spoons makes a lot of sense, because, like, Magneto can bend spoons and stuff, because, like, what if the spoon's metal? So
well,
here's my question is, like,
yes.
can the down on his luck guy be, like, Magneto, who, like, he fell in some plastic wrap or something, like, his power doesn't work for some reason?
I like that.
How you block a power.
That's
like a Hannibal
Professor,
Lecter sort of situation where he has to be in like a plastic
yes,
box.
Yes. Well, my thought was this is going to be the beginning of another tentpole franchise.
Ah.
So the man who he thinks is his father in this movie will be played by George Clooney.
George Clooney's dead.
But then at the end, when George Clooney's like, oh, this is so great. You know, I'm so glad you're my son and whatnot. Doors slam open. Who comes in that cool fucking floaty pose that he hits? Magneto, to rightfully claim who his son is.
Okay, I like...
Credits!
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Come
That's
back
great.
In 2016.
Wow.
For Quicksilver Change.
Yeah, and there's every
nah,
moment
like
where
that.
He's
Cancel
like,
it.
Quick, I am your father. Does that happen at
quick
all?
Or, quick... Quick or my mom will shoot
yeah,
is one that's, I think that might be part three.
Throw my quick mama from the train. Well, I think that both of these are great. I'm shocked because they have nothing to do with each other and they're not even the same genre. I honestly think that since we already have two Quicksilvers in two different movies that are going to continue to be Quicksilvers that have no overlap, that we can also make just two more movies with Quicksilver that almost is just like don't even acknowledge each other, where it's just like, oh, this is this one movie. It's like pretty low key. It's a silly thing with Coke, you know, because drugs are silly.
Bicycles.
Mm. Yeah. And then the other one is just like a more serious kind of like a family or they could be combined. I don't know. It's like George Clooney learns how to ride a bicycle. It's like, you know, a woman needs a man like a George Clooney needs a bicycle, that sort of thing. So these are some of my ideas. They're both picked up to series of movies.
Ooh.
And they might be the same. So we'll figure it out in post after we shoot both of them, whether or not we combine the films. Does that make sense?
Yep. I got it.
Great.
Yeah, I wrote a flow chart. So
I just want two different directors, but the same editor. And then
oh,
I'll
sure.
just do it on my own at home with Final Cut.
Okay.
I don't have a director yet. I have soundtrack by... Daft Punk.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'll see you guys later at my house after you shoot these movies and deliver them to me.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And
Thank
we'll be
you.
Back right after this with a review of X-Men Days of Future. Blah.
Days of Future poops.
Days of Future blah.
What's up? My name is Jasper Red, co-host of The Goose Down, along with the lovely Kimberly Clark, and we want to invite you into the comfort and groove of our podcast that encompasses the arts and entertainment. You can check us out at MaximumFun.org, also available on iTunes. See ya.
Now is the time of the show to give you a brief review of a dick flick. Now, this week we chose X-Men Days of Future Past, which is currently in theaters, just so you know. Spoilers do follow. I did the old paper drop.
Every show.
A little Foley for ya.
Lake Wobegon.
Now, X-Men Days of Future Past is directed by Bryan Singer. Of course, there was a bit of, still is, some controversy surrounding this release. Bryan Singer having been accused of sexually assaulting a young man several years ago. And I would just like to take a moment to say that though that news came out maybe a month prior to the film's release, I have not heard another thing about it, and I really do not think that it impacted the release of the film. Whether we think that that it makes us good or bad people, I don't know. But I will say that I didn't hear it come up again. Did either of you guys hear anybody else talking about that?
No.
No,
like,
not really.
It felt like it really came and went and didn't and wasn't connected to the release of this movie at all.
Yeah, I didn't. I heard about it the one time.
Yeah.
And then I think we talked about it once. Like, hey, did we hear about that? And then that was it.
But I mean, it was big news. It was everywhere for a couple of days. And then it feels like, I mean, in the news cycle that we're living in now, that was like a month ago or just a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
It feels like that was 5 years ago. I mean, you know what I mean? Like that. I didn't even feel like anybody talked about that. Yeah. Huge movie coming out, didn't even register. So that's where we're at in terms of our news cycle and when things stick with us. But this film also stars Hugh Jackman, James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, Jennifer Lawrence, Nicholas Hoult, Peter Dinklage, Ian McKellen, and Patrick Stewart, with Sean Ashmore, Ellen Page, Halle Berry, and of course, Evan Peters playing Quicksilver. Now, in the future, Sentinels have destroyed mutants and the people that help them, really laid a wasteland to the Earth, because they have been sent to target mutants specifically. Now, at the very end of it all, Professor X is there, Magneto is there, and they're trying to figure out if there's anything they can do to prevent the extinction of mutants and seemingly humans. Like, there don't seem to be any.
Because they're also killing the humans that will reproduce and create mutants,
yes.
Right?
Yes. So it just seems like a real Terminator situation. And what they decide to do is to send Wolverine's consciousness back in time to younger baby Wolverine, who's still an adult man because he doesn't age, via Kitty Pryde, Ellen Page's ability to take people and transport them places.
So her ability to sit.
Yeah, she sits in one place and transports him, and they wait to see if the Sentinels can stop being ever created. Of course, they were created when Mystique shot the guy who invented them and thus made human beings worried, including Richard Nixon. I think we nailed it. Rhea.
Yes.
I'm going to start with you. What is the worst part of this movie?
I think that the worst part of this movie has got to be the plot of this movie. It doesn't really. It's just a lot of like, this whole movie feels like I'm just watching a really long version of a Control Alt Delete. Like, it's just a really long force quit.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole movie is just a spinning pinwheel. And also, may I ask, who the hell would care if anyone killed Nixon?
Well, here's what's funny about this movie is that it really. Now, I'm not familiar with this story from the comics, so maybe this is exactly how it happened.
It's not how it happens in the comics.
Okay. But I will say that as a film, it's hilarious because it really is like as if they said, okay, we need this to happen. How do we set that up? And all of the pieces that they move don't really make sense. Like, it's like, we need younger Professor X and younger Magneto working together, but Magneto's at the Pentagon. We gotta bust
also,
him out.
Magneto's still bad.
They don't need, there's no reason that they should ever even get Magneto. There's no reason they should ever even travel and stop Jennifer Lawrence. What they should do is go back to when Peter Dinklage was born, the inventor of these Sentinels, and just kill him as a baby. Or, you know, I don't know, steal all his plans.
Yeah.
Or, like, wreck his computer system. Like, it feels like there's a lot of different ways that this could happen. And for some reason, it all boils down to the hardest possible option. And I don't really understand how anybody thought this was a good movie with that amount of justification needed. You know, it's always tough when you're watching a movie and you're like, this is a why would you do this?
Yeah.
It is like watching Back to the Future Part 2 without any payoff whatsoever. Where, like, you don't see the...
Stay in the car!
He never gets the almanac. So then they're like, we just have to go back because now everything's bad.
Which, by the way, is a Back to the Future reference.
It is, yes. So, which is what sets in motion the whole two-thirds of the end of the movie. But that's the thing. There's a beginning third of the movie that you spend time in that world to really get it. Whereas in this movie, you spend, what, 15 minutes in the future? It doesn't, for a movie that's about time travel, it doesn't really spend any time actually setting up what the hell's going on. It's just like a race to collect pieces.
I also think that any time you're making a time travel movie and the whole point of the time travel is for somebody to reason with somebody else, you're going to really be making a hard-to-support film. Because there's so many things that happen in our lives, and the idea that that would be the best way to do anything is just like, no, we're just going to go reason with her. I'm not saying anybody even has to be hurt, but there's just... Seems like there's another option. But, Ricky, let's go to your worst part before I can keep talking. What's your worst part?
I'm going to write the coattails there of what Rhea was saying and what you were saying. Just go back in time to when he was born and don't have him, or go back to when he was a kid, a la Terminator 2, when he's not going to really cause any harm. Just the whole concept of Peter Dinklage's character was very boring and unnecessary. I was all excited because I was like, oh, Peter Dinklage, Game of Thrones. Great. Let's see him do something.
Yeah,
and the most that he gets to do is when Mystique is playing him in that scene where she sees all the pictures of the dead mutants and he gets all emotional. I was like, well, this is probably the realest this fucking character is going to get. And that's not even the real character playing the character. It's an imitation of that character.
I forgot that was him.
Yeah.
Honestly,
we're thinking about
like,
it as Jennifer Lawrence.
I was like, what do you mean? Oh, yeah, no, right. Yeah, that's not Jennifer Lawrence.
That's a great
point. That's a movie trick, Cameron Esposito.
It just felt like so. That was such. Whenever Peter Dinklage would show up on screen, I was never like, oh, man, here's the fucking bad guy. Shit's about to get real. I was just like, yeah, there's Peter Dinklage.
His
motivation
is also very unclear. There's like, I get that he's saying that mutants are dangerous, but you don't get to spend any time with him to really get
why
he thinks this. Yeah. Or, I mean, his plan is like for world peace, but you don't see how he learned this. There's no...
His plan is there. His plan is, this is my plan. And when someone goes, oh, I don't know if that's a good idea. He goes, but you're going to die. This is my plan. Oh, okay. There you go.
I read like a snippet of Peter Dinklage, like an interview with him. His read on Trask, his character, like he was saying that he saw his own dwarfism as a mutation. And it's like a self-hatred that he wants to kill these mutants because he sees himself as a mutant and he's been treated poorly his entire life and felt sorry for himself.
I also
and
read that, but that is not in the movie at all.
It's not in the movie at all because you spend zero time with him and he's just doing Tyrion, like walking around and it's just not... Yeah.
And I think, and I don't know how many movies she's done now, but it's official. I am not a fan of Jennifer Lawrence. As Mystique, there was nothing intimidating or like I didn't feel like I was. She felt like blank actress.
Let me ask you a question. Have you seen Hunger Games?
I did see the Hunger Games. I saw both of them.
Okay. Because I think she does. Yeah, that's. We watched one of them for the show. I thought she did a great job being like an everywoman in that movie. She's convincing as that character. And I liked her in American Hustle as that character. I think she's done. I liked her in Silver Linings Playbook as well. Like, I think she has some skills, but I agree with you that I don't know that, like, hardcore intimidation is one of those skills.
Yeah, even in the first X-Men, in X-Men First Class, I was just like, ugh, I'm not buying you in this role. I think she can. I think she does have... In the Hunger Games, and even in Winter's Bone, which I wasn't crazy about.
Oh, she's great.
But I was into her in that. But everything else, I just feel like it's. I just don't buy it.
Well, can I add on that? My worst part of this movie is also the treatment of her character. So, I mean, maybe it's her, and maybe it's a position she was put in. Because I agree with it. She's not like Rebecca Romijn is a great Mystique. she's like got the right body type for it. She's so lithe and lanky and that she looks otherworldly. She looks kind of alienish, and that looks right, you know, for that character, I think. I think there's a lot of different body types in the world, but I think that that blue skinny thing is kind of how that skinny thing should look. Like, then Jennifer Lawrence has a different body type. She's also wearing a suit, not body paint, in this movie, and I'm not blaming her for that. I just think it looks different. I think she looks like a different character in this film, and I also think that the treatment of her in this film is as if she is completely helpless. I could not believe the number of times I had to hear this woman who is supposed to be the ultimate killer be asked a question, are you Charles's or are you mine or are you yours? Like, this movie is one of the most anti-feminist pieces of drivel I think I've seen since the movie Twilight, where, like, she is her own fucking person. I'm so sick of superhero movies where a woman has just as many skills as the dude, and that's why she's there. You know, you don't end up in the final fight if you're a piece of shit. Like, Storm can do some shit. She should be there. And I don't think that that person should have to be asked if they are their own person. I understand that, like, if it was two dudes having that conversation, it might be different. But there's definitely a romantic bent to the way they play it. Everybody seems, like, in love with her, even though she and Charles talk about being family members. So there's a weird incestuous vibe going on between the two of them. She clearly is fucking Magneto. Like, that's implied. And it just is gross. It's like these two characters that I love. I love Magneto and I love Charles Xavier. And watching them be these, like, skeezy, controlling, hyper-sexed young dudes, like, broke my heart. I was completely upset by the portrayal of all of the young guys in this film and women, except I thought, like, younger Beast was okay. Quicksilver was pretty fucking great. That's my read on it. I had a huge problem with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand what the triangle is between, like, Magneto and Mystique are in love, it seems like, but they can't be together. And then Xavier is like her, they're like brother sister. He's like the older brother type, watching out for her, but I just didn't.
But he's also in love with her.
Is he?
There's a lot of
sexual tension in this movie between the two of them.
I guess in the comic book, they don't. I don't think they get together. I wasn't getting it as, oh, he wants to get with her. It was just kind of like, he's the older brother. Hey, that guy's a bad guy. He's going to take us in the wrong direction if you're with him. Get away from him.
Well, it felt very possessive.
It definitely felt possessive, but I took it as like brother sister. Hey, what are you doing?
I think it was very confused. Whether his possessiveness came from a brother position or from an in love with her position.
Yeah. It seemed unclear and muddled. That's my point. It did not look to me on screen like a brother-sister relationship that I've seen. And I think that would be a fine way to play it, but that's not how I saw it. And the possessive, like literally the possessive Charles's being used again and again, like she belonged to him. And they're like the same age. Also, like he kept being like, I'm like a father to her or whatever. Like, I just thought that it was so diminishing and insulting of everything that Mystique is supposed to be, and I was like furious the entire time.
Yeah.
Now, Rhea, what is the best part of this movie?
Well, sorry to take everybody else's best part since I get to go first. Well, Quicksilver's definitely the best part. Best part of the movie, hands down. The Jim Croce time in a bottle sequence is amazing.
Oh my God.
It actually reminded me of the scene in Cloud Atlas with the plates and stuff. It was just, like, beautiful and funny and fun and experimental. And there were a couple things in this movie that I felt like, oh, that was cool, like the stadium around Nixon. And then, I totally forgot what the other one was. Anyway, the Quicksilver, with the exception of his weird outfit that, like, reminded me of a Prodigy video?
Hot Topic from 1999.
Because there's like no origin. Didn't we look up? There's like no reason that he's wearing that outfit. They're like,
well,
yeah, just
Can't
wear a
Hardly
silver
Wait
jacket.
Was a movie. Let's make him look like that.
Exactly. He looks like a silver Sonic the Hedgehog. Okay.
But then...
Oh, I remember what the third thing was. I liked the concept of time travel that they were using in this movie because I can't think of another movie that it wasn't physical, you know, that the actual body didn't go back. Hmm. And I loved, I don't know if they did this on purpose, but the fact that Wolverine woke up naked, because that's a pretty, you know, specific time travel you know, with like Terminator
honestly,
and all that stuff. I love the consciousness idea
totally
and stretching time that way.
I
that
really
was fascinating.
Think that that's probably like he requested that in his contract because he was just like,
I didn't do all this
check
work
it out.
For nothing.
Look
his
at my
ass.
I'll see it.
How old is that guy?
He's got to be like in his 40s, right?
Jesus Christ.
At least.
I think he's 50.
Minimum.
Chiseled.
I'm going to guess he's like 50.
Chiseled.
His butt. What a butt. What a butt on that guy.
What a butt, what a
what
butt.
An
what
an asomantium. Okay. thank you.
Now, Ricky, what's the best part of this movie?
I would say Magneto saying, I don't know karate, but I know crazy. I like that Magneto listens to James Brown. Yeah, you do, son. Yeah, you do. The three action set pieces. The first one in the beginning where it's the future, and
that's
I don't know
great.
What her name
oh,
is.
Yeah.
Where she's like throwing the little portals.
The yeah, so good.
That was very much like X-Men 2 with like Nightcrawler jumping. I was like, oh, fuck, here we go.
That was a great opening.
Yes, totally. The them going to break Magneto out. That whole sequence is great. The whole sequence where, yeah, they make the stadium go in front of the White House, you know, surround the White House. I thought that was great. I actually, man, everybody went nuts about Quicksilver. That fucking outfit was driving me
bad.
Ridiculous. And I didn't... He seemed, and maybe this is me just showing my age right now, but it's 73, but he just seemed like he's a little annoying to me and not, I don't know. Quicksilver was not the knock it out the park to me that everybody else was crazy about. I thought he would be like the who's the flame in the original X-Men trilogy. I wanted him to be kind of like more of like, is this a good guy? Is this a bad guy? What's the deal with him?
Oh, no. They just brought him in, had an amazing sequence, and then they were like, yep, we're just going to leave
you
at
home.
Yeah,
and that was another thing, too. Then he's
why
gone,
he
and the next time we see
all
him...
All he would have to do is run in
that's
and
why
stop Jennifer Lawrence.
They wouldn't have a movie.
I don't know. That,
so,
that was...
Ricky,
yeah.
I understand what you're saying about... I mean, his wig or what is... I mean, he looks out of place with the rest of the movie.
It would seem like
his costume is just like not
fitting. Very 90s.
Yes.
The quality of the other costumes too. Like the other costumes are like faded in this way that they look of the time, and for some reason he's wearing like this like neoprene.
He seemed like he was dressed today. I mean, he had a Pink Floyd Target shirt on.
Yes.
Yeah, it was
I know because I've wanted to buy that shirt.
Yes. Yeah.
Nobody really had Pink Floyd shirts. In 1970,
so that's,
and
that's
that was another
very
thing too. Yes, I was.
I'm not going to debate you on that at all. I will say what I liked about him was I actually liked the something I love when they do in an X-Men movie is when they have like the teenagers just be teenagers that have weird powers. Like I love that he didn't want to help them. I love that he was showing off. I love that he was pretending nothing was happening. And then I love that when he did help them, he had like all these extra. Like he was. He was so joyful about it that he finally got to use his powers and his mutation for good. And it just, I loved it. I loved the joy on his face. And I thought that guy, Evan Peters, did a great job with it. Also, I loved when he put down his goggles and you realize that those are there for a reason. I just wish the rest of him hadn't looked so, even if they just did a better job with his hair, you know, like, just don't have it be like a wig made of tinsel. Like,
yeah.
But when he pulls down his goggles and you're like, oh, that's because he runs so fast. He wanted to get stuff in his eyes. Like, I loved it. It made me, I was pumping my fists.
He's not
right
as cool as Flash in The Incredibles, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
we're not going to debate on that.
Yeah, there's no debating The Incredibles.
All right, so to conclude our review, Rhea, on a scale of 1 to 5 guys named Evan Peters, how many Evan Peterses do you give X-Men Days of Future Past?
I give it 1 3/4 of guys named Evan Peters.
Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5, chairs Ellen Page sat in for the entire movie. How many Page chairs do you give X-Men Days of Future Past?
I will give it 3 chairs that Ellen Page sat in.
Yeah, and I'm giving X-Men Days of Future Past like 2 Richard Nixon impersonators
that I thought were the dad was what's his name from Arrested Development the whole time, and then it just bothered me.
I mean, if you are home or you're on an airplane, this is a better option than like whatever Ryan Reynolds movie is gonna play. But compared to anything else, don't watch this shit. So we will leave you with this. Rhea, what do you think about this week?
I'm thinking about a couple things. Well, number one, I was listening to the Robin and Royskop album that's coming out very soon. It was on NPR. I'm sure it's like probably out by the time this podcast drops. So check that out because it's great. And she hasn't put anything out in a while, in at least like 4 years, I think. So it's very rad. Great music to listen to. And I also have been thinking about an artist named Tara Donovan, who does installation pieces that are very large. And she used to use everyday objects like paper plates and pencils to create these big or like organic sort of creatures almost that are sculptures. But her work has really evolved. And I have seen her work when she was post-MFA in Cleveland. She was doing like an artist in residence at the Cleveland Museum of Art. And then I just happened to see some new images of her work in like big galleries in New York. So it's just awesome to see somebody keep making art and keep progressing and making awesome stuff. So check her out. It's Tara Donovan. And then the last thing that I wanted to say is that I was really impacted and moved by all of the Yes All Women tweets that happened. 2 weekends ago now? That it's unfortunate that there was a tragedy that happened, and I feel very badly for everyone that lost their lives and their families. But it's been pretty great to see this large of a conversation about something that most people don't talk about. And mostly women are just talking to each other about it or not thinking about it. And for the most part, the men that are in my social media strata have been like either on board with it or changed by it, and it's only been a few dudes that are argumentative, and that's been really great. So I don't know, I hope it keeps going, and I hope everybody keeps talking about it, even if it's just once a week or something. It's been really great to see that conversation happening.
Ricky, what do you think about this week?
I'm thinking about thank yous to how great and wonderful everybody was who came up and talked to me at Max Fun Con. Like I said, Gabe, Emily, Zach, Kevin with that whiskey, my guy talking to me at the after party. He came up to me, told me about coconut oil with popcorn. He was like, "You try popcorn?" I was like, "I'm going to." So thank you to everybody who came over and said hi. Shout out to go see Fast and the Furious 6. I saw 2 movies with The Rock this weekend. Fast and the Furious 6, solid. Pain and Gain, not that good a movie. The Rock, great in it.
Yeah, Pain and Gain is awful, but Rock is great in it.
But The Rock is great in it. So good. I sat through that 2-hour piece of shit just to see where my guy The Rock would end up at. I've been thinking about The Roots specifically. He like Aquaman and Brian Hornet. He like him, what's that? But don't flaunt it. Black Thought. Thank you to The Movie Night with TK Kelly and Dwayne Perkins for having me on there to talk about The King of Comedy. And check out this great documentary about illegal immigration in this country called The Fence. It's on HBO. Email me for an HBO Go password. I don't have one. But if you have HBO, check out that documentary, The Fence. It's very good. That's all.
Wow, you guys have a lot of stuff that you brought in today. I just want to recommend... Rhea and I watched some great women's sports over the weekend.
What?
Including some 9 for 9 documentaries. What even is that? What is that?
It's an offshoot of the ESPN 30 for 30 series.
Right, I just couldn't remember if it was... Got it.
It's 9 for Title 9.
Yes.
So,
but I couldn't remember what
network. It's like an anniversary.
I don't know what network I thought it would be on. I just almost said the sports channel?
Home Shopping Network.
That's not one. yeah, it's on ESPN, and we watched some of those. They were great. So if you have a chance to catch the 9 for 9, really, really good. And also, last night, Rhea and I watched Ellen's special. Is it here now or the beginning?
We watched the beginning.
So one thing that I, you know, when I was first coming out, I watched Ellen's stand-up because it was like some of the only stuff that was accessible to me that I thought might somehow reflect my experience. And it had been probably over 10 years since I had seen any of her stand-up. You know, she doesn't really do stand-up anymore. You really would never have a chance to see it. I mean, I guess she does those intro monologues on her show, but her show is so smiley. And this, the beginning is like dark. She's pissed. It's the first thing that she's done since she came out and was like chased out of Hollywood. And it's like 3 years later, she's coming back. Finding Nemo hasn't happened yet. The Ellen show hasn't happened. She's in a really tenuous position where she might not be able to continue to have a career. And it's pretty raw and honest and awesome. And so I know that as a stand-up looking at it, I couldn't believe how great it was. Because I think I thought that her stuff was great to me at the time because of my age and where I was personally. And it was just fun to be like, oh, that like muted, toned down person that housewives watch at 2 p.m. She was like a fierce fighter. She's like a warrior for her cause. And she's like not smiling. She's talking about booze and pot.
She like drops an F-bomb.
She says fuck. Like it's great. So if you haven't seen it, it is on HBO. Mm-hmm. Go. And I would recommend just seeing it because, you know, yeah, you should see like, you should see the Carlin stuff and you should see the Eddie Murphy stuff and like that. You should see Ellen's early stand-up. She's very talented and there's a reason that she has had the cultural impact that she has had. So until next week, we love you emotionally as a brother, but also romantically, and it's confusing. But for next week, we are going to watch Edge of Tomorrow. Until then, I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay. And Maximum Fun, thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.